One of my best friends at high school, there was Verna Cartwright and Sarah Patton and I, and we were the threesome.
Oh, really?
And still are.
Are you?
Yeah.
And you go to the same church, don't you?
No. She goes to Presbyterian and I go to the First Christian.
Oh.
But that's all right.
Yeah. Well.
But we talk a blue streak when we get together.
Uh-huh.
Glad to see each other.
Uh-huh.
And she was such a little short girl, and I was so tall and gangly.
Uh-huh.
We had a funny-looking group.
Well, I had fun. And one of the things I talked about with Verna was, like, how it was different for women back in when you were young and how things have changed.
You didn't make as much money as men did at jobs, I know that.
Oh, yeah. One thing I was interested in was, like, you know, you hear so much about, like, abuse, like, physical abuse against women now, and sexual abuse against children and stuff like that.
We had it, definitely.
Yeah.
In those days.
Physical abuse against
women.
Did you know people, or was it like...
I never ran into a wife that was battered or anything of that sort. But I did see abused children in my work.
Well, in your work, you saw them. Like sexually abused children?
Well, both.
Both. But people didn't talk about it.
No. And, you had trouble getting people to report it, even.
Uh-huh.
To call the office and tell you know, so you could go out on cases. But you had to have some indication. You couldn't just barge in and say, hey, I think something's wrong here.
Yeah, well, that's how it is now, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes that gets abused, though. People get accused and they didn't do anything. Of course, that probably happens all the time. Well, how about, medical care for women?
Oh, it was good.
It was good.
If you could afford it, that is.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I had a doctor in the family, which you didn't have to pay. And
Who was the doctor?
You ran into it, everything you could think of.
Oh, yeah. Who was the doctor? I forgot.
Gilstrap. C.L. Gilstrap.
And how was he related again?
He was married to my father's sister.
Oh, so he was your uncle.
Yeah, he was my Uncle Clarence.
And so, now you have to tell me where to go, because I know I go down to Hunter and then up that way, but then after that you have to...
Well, where are we headed?
Well, you're going to show me where this old schoolhouse was.
Okay.
And then
where the old Iowa schoolhouse was, and also where the Lone Star was.
And also where that water thing was.
Oh, Woodland intake.
Yeah, Woodland.
I mean the West intake.
West intake, So, okay, when you were having children, where'd you have them?
I had Todd in the St. Joseph Hospital, and... I remember vividly that he was the only baby on the floor.
Oh, really?
And I went in and delivered one evening, and there was one woman in there with her baby, but she was leaving that day. She came down and told me goodbye and hoped I had good luck and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And after that, for about the next 6 days, I was alone. Third floor of the St. Joseph Hospital.
Really?
Yeah. So when you heard the elevator coming, you knew your husband was on the way, probably to that of the doctor.
Uh-huh.
It was only seven.
So was there another hospital in there?
Yes, the Grand Ronde Hospital. The old Grand Ronde, which is up where the White Birch Apartments
I can't place that, but...
Well, it was as you come in the highway at the other end of town.
Oh, yeah.
And on that road, you'd set up for
Where the nursing home is.
you know, kind of
along in there with the retirement home.
Yeah.
Nursing home.
And so, was that like a class thing? Some people went to one hospital and some people went to another because it's
class? No, not particularly. It was of course, St. Joseph was Catholic and the rest of the people who were Catholic definitely went to St. Joseph. But I went to the St. Joseph in Todd because...
Now talk over here.
It was near where we lived.
That was the main reason you went.
Then later, when I had the twins, Uncle Clarence had bought the Grand Rock Hospital. And so it was his hospital, so to speak.
So you went...
I was expected to go there.
Oh, I see. Family pressure.
Yeah.
Well, you had twins, too. So did... A lot of people have twins.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people take fertility drugs now.
But you.
I have two sets of twin great grandchildren.
Oh, you do? Oh.
Two of my grandchildren have twins.
Dan, do you have twins?
I was school was back on that for them.
Uh oh, well, we need to. Yeah. You need to show me that. Okay, I'm going to turn around. You were talking. Iowa school.
Iowa school.
And it was because people were from Iowa.
I don't know why. It probably was because there was a wagon train, you know, crossing the plains. The school came from Iowa. Probably was why it was called Iowa.
Okay. Well, you know, Verna's mother had twins.
Oh, yeah.
And her...
She had, she had twins.
Not right here?
Up here on this corner.
Okay. Well, this is... They're digging a well now. Well, was there water here then?
No, not particularly. Just the ditches.
Oh.
Yeah, listen to this corner.
Really?
Yep, I was...
Okay, we are at Hunter Lane and...
Stanley
Lane. And there was a school right here in the corner.
And it had been there for a good many years. I had pictures of my aunts and dad's sisters and dad, too.
Who went to school here?
Yeah.
Well, you need to dig those out.
I would love to dig those out and show them to you, except that I walked in one day trying to remember how some relative looked, and I knew I had all the Pulse pictures filed in my rec room. In boxes. I walked in there and there were no boxes. They were gone. I have no idea what happened to those pictures. Whether someone was cleaning up the house after Jack died, helping me burn the
Bob
with
really?
The garbage, or whether some family member knew I had them and came in and removed them.
Oh.
I have no idea what those pictures.
And you've asked your kids?
I lost pictures all back as far as Civil War days.
Oh, really?
My grandmother had.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had boxes of pictures. Just the whole floor was littered with them.
Really?
And they are gone.
And your kids didn't take them?
I questioned them. I said, did anybody, any of you, bother those pictures? Todd said, no, Mom, I know what you mean. I saw them, but I never would destroy something that sort. Now, this lane...
Monroe Lane.
Yeah, at the end of that, my grandfather settled there, great-grandfather.
Whose name was? His name was what?
Henry Hulse.
Henry Hulse.
This next place...
This isn't the Clargans. The Clargans is over here.
Well, that place was my grandmother, York, my maternal grandmother.
Oh.
his parents lived in.
So
the first and next place was ours.
So that you mean your grandparents got to know each other because they were neighbors?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Nobody had cars, you know. They couldn't travel on this.
So they married each other because they knew each other right there.
Ah. And here's the relation.
Well, they fixed it up real nice up there.
Makes me homesick to see it.
I'm sure it does.
And I don't know if the ferrymen still own this place or not. Or if so.
You know, I think, well...
They were in the...
Mr. Berryman died.
Yes, and I knew the girls were discussing putting them up for sale.
I've never seen a for sale sign on there that I remember, and I drive this a lot.
If they do sell, they'll be the last of the hillside, you know,
yeah.
Flanagan Place, our place, all of them, go on. This is part of your turn, if you want to go to Lone Star.
Okay, now, what's Lone Star again? I forget.
It's where I went to preach.
Oh, really?
Until I went to town. Went to Akron.
Oh, so you didn't go to Iowa school?
No. Oh. My brothers went there. They went even some time in Iowa school.
Okay, we just turned down Teeter's Corner.
Yeah.
What's the name of this road? I forget. Well, anyway, I'll see that later. So there's two schools that we're seeing where they were. And which one did you say when you talked to the lady about the schoolhouse lady that done the history on it? Which one did she know nothing about?
Lone Star.
Okay.
She said that I've never heard of Lone Star. I said, well, it definitely was there.
Because you know.
Yeah, I went there, and I told her a number of people that had been educated there. And it went back years before me, too, you know, one time. My brother and I used to ski from our place out here on the sand bridge. Across fields, go across these fields.
Yeah.
Just when we were little kids. And then we'd go to Grandma's.
Up
sort of
there.
Part.
Oh, yeah. And did you ski to school?
What?
Did you ski to school?
No.
Oh.
It was so close we could yell across the fence. We were too close.
Verna was telling me when she had kids that the nurses and the doctors made the women stay for like 10 days and they had to stay flat on their backs.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'd stay in the hospital 10 days when I had the twins.
Uh-huh.
Of a clearance in the system. 10 days.
And that was that. And then when she said when you got up, then you were just supposed to go.
Oh, yeah.
You were like flat on your back, and then you get up and you go.
Yeah.
Is that how your experience was, too?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this corner. L.A. This is the Woodland place. Jim Woodland's place. You turn at that corner and go right. It was a Jim Woodland's corner that we found the lake from.
Culver. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, right here. Is that a Woodall place still?
No. I don't know. Pauline Howard lived there, his daughter, and she died recently. So I don't know what they've done with the place.
Okay, now we're on Webster Road, and we're turning right.
This was our property in here, Bill.
You own this property, or
no,
you rented
we
it?
Rented. Mm-hmm. We were going to buy it.
And where was your house?
we intended to buy it, and about that time my grandfather had a heart attack.
Okay. So where was your house on this place?
Well, back about 200 yards in the field. They burned it a year or 2 years ago. That's probably is the driveway here. It was long about a year.
And you just went back there?
Yeah, sent back in there. It was a big place, barns. And
oh, really?
And shops. It was the place my mother was crying cold one day and said they're burning down at the woodwork.
Oh.
That was and the Lomas, our school was just along here.
Right here, kind of on the ridge.
Yeah.
And it was just like a one room
with a bandy room. And, you know.
And so there wasn't any water here?
No. Oh, there was a pitcher pump outside, which you
pumped. Oh, there was?
Oh, yeah, you pumped, sure.
So they just dug a shallow well then?
I presume.
Yeah, because there's no water coming anywhere here.
Now, this is a Webster place, I think, now.
So should we keep going? No, we should just turn around, shouldn't we?
No, we should do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this is Carl Webster's place. But it wasn't here when I was a child.
Oh, wasn't it?
No.
Oh. So were there a lot of places around out here?
Yeah, quite a few farms and things. We thought nothing of walking a couple of miles to see a neighbor.
Yeah.
It was dirt roads. No gravel, no anything. You had mud in the winter and fall. It was really muddy.
Right. And who took care of the roads?
Oh, I presume the county did. But they didn't have a lot of money to operate on.
But you didn't have to take care of the roads in front of your house. Somebody else did.
Yeah. And you had rural delivery of mail.
And did it come every day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
except
did.
Sunday.
Oh. And what kind of mailboxes did you have?
Just like now.
Just metal mailboxes?
Yeah.
One time I went up to Imnaha to, what's the matter?
I dropped my billfold. Where is it? I have it in my lap. Probably
should
go here.
Okay.
It's slick and it slides off my little fat tummy.
Well, I was up in Imnaha doing this workshop thing along the Imnaha River. And their mailboxes
are wooden yeah.
Little house things.
Yeah, fancy.
And they didn't have doors on them. And they if they had mail to send out, they put a rock on their mail. And it came every other day.
Oh.
Even now, I think, if I recall correctly, I think it must come every day. But they still have those old mailboxes up there.
Yeah. Yes, I'm hoping the fact that the Joseph and that area up in there, they've turned artists. You know, they are favoring the artists in the world. And I'm hoping it doesn't change the atmosphere up there. It has always been so rural.
Oh, it was so fun to be there. I shouldn't put this on the tape because it doesn't have to do with you, but other stuff. All right, now we're going to... Hey, you're talking about Dorothy Wagner. Yeah.
She said, if you'd ever lived there during a winter, you wouldn't want to make it your home.
Uh-huh.
She said, their winters are endless.
Yeah.
I said, well, I've only seen summertime.
I know, I love Allow County, too. But it was really fun. I was just there for 2 weeks, and it's just so rugged and everything. It's just really great. So how do you know Dorothy Wagner?
Oh, I've known Dorothy for years. We both belong to the Pleasant Grove Grange.
Okay, talk over here.
We both belong to the Pleasant Grove Grange, and I've known her there, and I've known her as a friend.
Uh-huh. And you knew Ed?
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Everybody
knew Ed. I loved
Ed. Everybody loved Ed. We knew Ed and Dorothy real well. Because they have property up above us. And so we got to know them pretty well. So do you go to Pleasant Grove Grange anymore?
I have been a member. I'm still a member, but have been since 38.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you know a lot about that.
Oh, yeah.
How long has Pleasant Grove Grange been going on, you think?
I probably have papers someplace and say that it was organized, but it was following the Civil War. The Granges came in.
Well, back in 38, there was a lot of economic depression and stuff. Oh, did the Grange do more political stuff then?
Oh, yes.
And what did they do?
Well, we used to have... I can remember my parents going to the Pleasant Grove Grange to make mattresses.
Mattresses. Out of what?
Well, the county extension group brought out ticking and stuffing for them and showed them how to make them. And
like out of feathers?
Yeah.
Or a rag?
Batting and
so
on. And so I used to go down with them when they did that. And then they had another episode down there where they made cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Big cheeses. Great big cheeses.
For poor people, you mean?
Yeah.
Or for each other?
For their own consumption.
Oh.
For your own.
Oh, that's cool. And did they make the mattresses for poor people or for themselves?
So, I've done stuff at the Grange forever.
So I didn't get what did they do with the mattresses? They made them for themselves?
Yeah.
Oh.
Made them for themselves.
Wow. So they'd have like a barn raising, only it'd be mattresses.
Yeah.
Cheese. Did they do, like gardening or anything together?
No, not particularly. They all had their own farms.
They were
busy.
So they did that in the wintertime?
We did that in the summertime.
Oh, you did. Okay, now are we coming close to where...
No, not yet.
No, we're not. Okay. Oh, no. It's down here. So, what did they... Was the Grange like a union, kind of like they organized the farmers? And
yeah, kind of that.
And so they
got rural free delivery, mail delivery, yeah.
Because of their pressure, you mean?
Uh-huh. Political pressure.
How about electrification? Did the Granges have to do with that?
My dad did that.
He did?
Well, my dad and Clarence Carter and some other fellow, I can't remember his name, and they... pushed the PUD, Public Utility District. We had the California Pacific that had the electric thing, monopoly. And they fought. Kept stirring it up and stirring it up.
And did they do that through the Grange?
And eventually we got rural electrification out here. We didn't used to have electric lights until I was a senior in college.
Okay. Now, does this have to do with anything with you, this place?
No.
Oh, I must have been thinking wrong about it. I thought you were talking about this place when we talked before. It wasn't.
What's further down? No. Will we pass it?
I don't know.
Oh, we're pretty close.
See
this house down there? This is the west place.
This is the west place. And you live down there in a house?
Yeah.
Okay. So who owns it now, I wonder? That person that just went down there is...
Yeah, I don't know who owns this even anymore.
Let's see if there's a name. Nope, there isn't.
Underground down at all. That doesn't help us any.
No, it doesn't. Okay, well, this...
But this used to be timber. There used to be a lot of timber down
here. All down here?
Yeah, I can remember how dark it was when we'd go to Grange. You'd feel like you were going into a tunnel.
Oh, really?
Just there was
timber
tall
everywhere.
Evergreens on all sides.
Oh. So...
A lot of it's been cleared out.
Yeah. So, let's see then. West... What did you call it?
West Intake.
And that's up here on End Road?
Yeah, I believe this was the lane you took up.
Okay, so we're going up End Road now. And is the tape...
But I couldn't say just where it is.
Well, you don't know where it is?
Up here in the woods somewhere. I know you drive up in here. And quite often the Granges that hold picnics up there.
Up here? Alden Woods? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And was it like a lake?
It was like a huge swimming pool. At least it seemed huge to me at that time.
You were a little girl.
Yeah, it might be just a puddle well. They probably don't have it anymore.
Well, they probably don't.
Probably isn't.
See, this is all developed now.
Well, that's it. There's places under every pine now.
So you don't know where it was?
Well, I don't. I couldn't. But you drove off the main road into the woods and it was there.
Oh. So it just fed... Basically, it just fed one place then? You think?
I don't know.
But for some reason it was important. I mean, it was a water source.
It was a water supply.
Well, this is all, you know, this is a 4-H center down here now. This whole thing. And here too. I think actually on both sides it was a cascade.
And it's funny, they waited until now to discover that these woods were here and were nice building sites and places where you could live. No, no, it's been here for years. Timber and stuff.
Well, maybe because there weren't so many people.
Well, that's it. And not so many people thought it was a big deal to live in the country.
Right? Yeah, they didn't. In fact, they tried to get away.
They wanted to be right in the city.
Yeah. In fact, wasn't it kind of like the poor people lived in the country and eked out a subsistence living, and if you made it,
well,
you went to the city?
Well, I laugh when I think about Island City. It's become so important, you know. It really is now. Island City is a thriving little spot.
Yeah.
And when I was in high school, we considered kids that came from Island City as country hicks.
Yeah.
They were just, you know, kind of poor kids that lived out there.
Yeah.
And that's about what they were. But it has changed. They've become important. Now, Lynn Brand would like to incorporate.
Yes, they would, because they're actually doing a good job.
Yeah, and the Brand's a little fumbly at the moment.
You can say that one more time. They can't get it together in there in the Grand how to do things. Well, what'd you think about the other communities? Like, what'd you think about Elgin?
Oh, Elgin was just a little town. No, a real little.
Well, now Elgin is kind of considered the, I don't know how to say it nicely, kind of, you know, the people make jokes about Elgin, like there's inbred people and they're stupid and blah and all that, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Was it that way then?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know much about Elgin as a child until my brother grew up and met the Hug family over there, and he married a Hug girl.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly Elgin was important, you know, all about Elgin. But up to then, Elgin was just a little place.
You didn't know about it?
No, it was just over there somewhere.
Well, I know a lot of people in Elgin. I go to church in Elgin, so...
Yeah. What church you go to?
The St. Mary's Catholic Church. So, but I know that, like, if I go to parties or something in Le Grand, people always make Elgin jokes. And, I mean, I don't like it. It makes me mad. But I just wondered if it was the same. Okay, this is Dorothy Wagner's place right here.
Yeah. Yep.
I haven't seen Dorothy for a long...
Oh, she's getting a little, she's getting older, you know.
Yeah.
Well, having trouble maintaining the place and stuff. But hanging on like I am.
Huh?
Hanging on like I am.
Well, she's got her daughter who helps her.
Becky.
Yeah. So here we're coming up to the Grange.
Yeah.
Is it too hot in here?
What?
Is it too hot?
No, it's fine.
Well, I have some friends who got married at the Pleasant Grove Ranch a couple summers ago. It's really a nice place. I mean, it's really nice inside and everything.
Well, a lot of volunteer labor is going into that.
I bet. Did you do volunteer labor on it?
Well, many a time, yes. Uh-huh.
And did potlucks and stuff?
Oh, always. Uh-huh. Every potluck.
Well, there were lots of people here then, weren't there?
No, my dad went to a high school down here.
This building?
The Pleasant Grove. There was a big schoolhouse here.
Oh, there was?
If you go to the left, to the right of the Grange building.
Oh.
And,
Now talk over here.
He went to high school there. I don't know how much high school they gave. I know he took several years. John Lewis built that Grangeville building.
Oh, he did?
Yep. That was his baby.
By himself?
No, he had a crew of men help him.
Uh-huh.
But to my
husband... In what year do you think about?
Oh, I couldn't say. I'd have to look back.
Well, is this where you came to the Grange?
No. No, I... My folks were invited to join the Grange when they lived out on the Sand Ridge where Lone Star School was.
Yeah.
And so we went, or Dad went, and they had what they called a penny drill. After the meeting they had on the altar, they marched around and they put some change, you know, and that was to be for buying sick people flowers and taking care of the sick and so on.
Oh, yeah.
And Dad, it was Depression years, reached in his pocket and he didn't have any change. You know, he didn't have a lot of loose coins to mm-hmm. put out. So he gave them $1, which was big money in those days.
Yeah.
And Mother kind of
looked at it.
Well, she said, come here, put that on the altar. And he said, it was the only money I had, and it was the last money they were ever going to get from me. Well, we laughed over that because my father worked and gave and contributed to the Grange all of the next 50 years.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't the last dollar he spent there.
But so when you came to this site for Pleasant Grove Grange, but that wasn't the building?
No, the building was here then.
Oh, what?
Always was this building. Uh-huh. Of course, it doesn't look quite the same.
Has it been refurbished?
Well, they repainted, and the back steps didn't used to be as nice. They used to be old wood steps.
Oh, yeah.
But
the inside's basically the same?
Yeah. Except for the toilets. They had outside toilets.
Oh.
I remember when my twins were little, they always needed to go to the bathroom. They needed to go to the bathroom. And you'd get up out of the meeting and trail them through the brush, and it was dark, and,
oh, yeah.
and take them out there. And boys had one over here, and the girls had one back in that front. And in later years, my husband and Dean Johnston, who was a carpenter, built indoor restrooms.
Oh, your husband built those
the
bathrooms?
Oh, yeah. After he'd work all day, he'd have his supper and then come down.
Well, that's cool.
So.
But the kitchen was there just like it is now?
Yep.
And all the paneling in the big room and everything? Just like that. Well, it's really a nice building, I think.
Yeah.
I wonder, there were probably, how many people would come to meetings back then?
Oh, 30, 40.
Regularly?
Yeah.
And how often did you have meetings?
Twice a month.
Oh, well
first and third Saturdays. My father was master for a good many years, head of it. And I can remember one blizzardy night on the ranch. He began getting himself all tugged up in his winter clothes, and I said, where are you going? And he said, it's Grange. I've got to go down and open the hole.
Oh.
And I said, you can't get there. The roads haven't been plowed. There won't be anybody there. He didn't care. He skied down. And then locked
from it. Over there?
Yeah, for my grandparents.
Oh, from your grandparents.
And where we lived then. But,
So you were, like, older then, like, yeah, 14 I or something? Yeah, I was 14.
Well, you couldn't join Grange until you were 14.
Oh.
But I, of course, went all the time, but you had to sit out in the kitchen while they had their meetings.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You'd get to be, you'd hear their secret work, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And, so I was quick as I was 14 and I joined.
Oh.
And I've been a member of it ever since. And I told Dorothy Wagner over the phone the other day, I said, Dorothy, I don't know why I pay my Grange dues. I don't have Grange insurance or anything anymore. And I guess it's sentiment. Just,
well, yeah.
I guess I'm hung on this long, I'll continue paying it. But I don't go. I haven't been in 10, 15 years. Probably.
Oh, you haven't? Oh. So how often do they have meetings now?
Well, according to Dorothy Wagner, it's a bit haphazard, and they don't seem to know, but they're supposed to have regular meetings and be doing political things, you know, presenting things to the legislature to pass and
right.
So on. They seem to have lost the idea of what Grange is, but...
It's more just like a social get-together.
Yeah, it is more a social get-together.
Uh-huh. And people come from...
Well,
all the way into town to here,
yes,
don't they?
Yes.
So, it's just kind of like...
Well, it's too easy to go to town anymore. You know, Grange used to be entertainment and
right.
Everything. You had dances and music, and it was fun. But people can turn on their own TVs or go to town.
Right.
It's simple now.
Right.
Which it wasn't in those days.
So when you, you came here though before you lived up at your grandparents.
Oh, yes.
You came
yes,
from down
the
there.
Sand Ridge.
Uh-huh. And you, how'd you get here?
Car.
What kind of car?
Oh.
Do you know? Do you remember?
Dodge.
And like this would be in the late 20s?
Well, it would be in the early 30s.
Early 30s.
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't belong to Grange when we lived on the West Ranch, you know.
Over here.
Ranch,
but you did down at the other place. So when you guys got, when your family would get cars, would you keep your cars for a long time or would you change your cars?
No, you kept them for a long time.
Like how long? 10 years?
Oh, yes.
At least. But you didn't drive them then. I mean, like if you would put on, how many miles do you think you'd put on?
Oh,
car
I have
you,
no idea.
Like now, see, I put on about 25,000 miles a year.
Oh, yeah, well, we didn't. You went to town once a week and got groceries. In the wintertime, you went maybe every 6 weeks because roads weren't plowed. You couldn't get to town.
Right.
You
had to make community out where you were.
Did I? We have what?
You had to make
yes,
community
yes.
where you were, because,
yeah.
So you probably put on 4,000 or 5,000 miles at the most a year. At the most.
And then, of course, wartime years, gas was rationed. You didn't have gas enough to use a car except
how
when
much,
necessary.
Do you remember how much gas you got when you got
No, I don't.
Because that was an adult thing to worry about.
I didn't have to worry. All I worried about was the sugar stamp. They gave stamps for...
How much sugar you got?
Oh, I don't remember, 10 pounds a week or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what worried me. I wanted to have my desserts.
Did you... Are you a sugar person?
Oh, definitely.
Me too. I eat dinner so I can have dessert.
I could eat dessert at breakfast and eat it all day long.
Me too. So then it makes it hard... If you don't want to get fat.
Yeah.
But
well,
you don't have to worry about that.
I've never been bothered with that, except one summer I came home from college. My mother had an ever-varying strawberry patch.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we have lovely big strawberries all summer. And we also have thick cream.
Oh.
And I put on 30 pounds that summer.
Really?
Went back to college, I had to fasten all my skirts with safety pins.
Oh.
To make a chain. Make them
well,
stand.
Usually it's the other way around, that kids go to school and they get fat, and then they, came home and got fat.
Yeah, I did. I have a few pictures where I was a pudgy little kid that summer.
Huh.
And it was nothing but eating.
So, you went through the Second World War.
Right.
And, tell me about that.
Well, I had a brother that was in the service, of course, in London. England in radar, and it was new that they carefully hid their communications from the Germans, of course. And Gifford says they were given pills that were technically poison pills that they were taking there for the capture. They were captured, they tortured them. Torture that information out there.
But he didn't have to do that.
No. He was in London when they had the buzz bombs. The bombs they sent over there.
Oh, yeah.
The guided, maybe guided missiles. But you would say you'd hear them coming and not know where they were going to land.
Scary. Now speak up.
Yeah. Yeah, I get some.
See, now that's it. They're down there. See, down here?
Yeah, that's it. That's the way it's playing.
Yeah.
Just timber wasn't there. They had, they had small trees. The water was hard to pick up. Those things frozen little nuts.
Yeah. Did you have to do that?
No. Jobs. One, a couple of pine walnuts.
Oh, yeah. Black walnuts.
Black walnuts.
And did you have to get the nuts out?
No.
Oh, good thing.
Yeah,
that's hard to do.
Oh, are they hard?
Really hard to do.
Yes, I have one black walnut tree on my place. I just leave them there.
Yeah.
Maybe the chipmunks will get them.
Somebody will get them.
I come up.
Well,
there used to be a big house, Victorian house, stood down there. It was three stories.
Where the Dakes live now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, whose place was that, do you remember?
Well, it was Clayton Fox's last person.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still owns the property or not.
No, the Dakes bought it from Clayton Fox. My daughter is doing oral history for her senior project at Ambler, and she interviewed Clayton Fox.
Right.
So, and she's going to, I think she's going to interview Thoreau's, too. Thoreau's
here. Has she been here a while, too?
Yeah, she has. Her whole life. They're all alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, Emily's learning about local history. It's pretty nice.
There used to be two buttes here. It was this butte, big butte, and a little butte.
Oh, yeah?
And they tore the little butte up, the county, I guess.
For gravel?
For rock, yeah.
Right here?
Uh-huh.
Oh, where the rock pit is now, but it's not.
So a big butte this dip, and then there was another.
Oh, really?
And my dad would go down each day and watch very carefully. He was interested to see if there were any Indian artifacts.
Oh, did he find any?
I don't know that he did there. He did on the home place, lots of stuff.
Oh, he did? Like arrowheads and stuff.
Yeah, it apparently Indian meeting place. Where various tribes came in.
They probably came down from the mountains.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think Indians lived in the Grand Ronde Valley, though. They just came through.
Yeah, they came over from Coachella. Dad would meet them up on top of the mountain lots of times.
He would?
Oh, yeah.
Did he know they were coming, or he'd just be out there?
They'd just be riding, horseback riding.
Oh, really? And then what would he do?
Well, talk to them as much as he could.
Sign
friends.
Yeah.
He got along well.
Wow, that's interesting. And they were just riding horseback over the mountain?
Yep.
Huh.
Now, this is where I was born. Where those trees are.
Oh, so really?
There's a big white house in there, and a big red barn. I have pictures of that. And that's where I lived until I was about 4 or 5. Down the West Branch.
Well, you just were all over up in this country.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if I should take you out to my house and you have things you can say about out there or not. Maybe not as much, probably.
Not as much. We go out on Sunday and see folks.
But you didn't know, like, the local history out there the same as you do this.
You know, most of the local history I know about the Somerville area is from Grange.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we did this.